Well, just want to welcome everybody tonight and just encourage you in the Lord. But let's take your, if you got, how many's got your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's look at that tonight. I'm going to try to be as brief as possible, but I want to pray because I know this much, that it's not intellect, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You don't need to hear a fleshly voice tonight. You need to hear from the Spirit of God. Real preaching, real Bible preaching, the Spirit will work in your spirit while a person's preaching. And that's what I want to have now. There are graduates all over the United States tonight. They're hearing a lot of high intellectual things and this, that, and the other. What we really need is to hear from the Spirit of God. Lord, we pray tonight that, Lord, I would decrease and you would increase. I pray, Lord, that just tonight, by the power of your Spirit, that there would be, Lord, something that would be a life-changing, a life-direction situation. Lord, that you would do that work of the Holy Spirit that no man, no psychologist, no preacher, no nothing can do. But that deep inward work of the Spirit of God, Lord, that changes the course of life for the good. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd do that. I want to thank you for these graduates, for their families. I pray, Lord, bless them. Strengthen them tonight and make this a special night in their life. And I pray, God, that there'll be some commitments made and there'll be a, Lord, direction taken. That'll change the course of history. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible said here, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. I want to take a secondary application to this passage of Scripture tonight and give you young people, where's all the graduates tonight that are homeschool graduates? Would you stand, you four homeschool graduates, so everybody knows where you're at? All right, one, two, three, there's four. Yeah, right there they are. And we want to make this a special night for you guys. And so I hope that you and will take this little old short message and the Spirit of God will do something for it in your life. And so you may be seated. The first thing you notice, I pray that you look at this passage of Scripture. The first thing it says, underline this in your Bible, I will stand. You're getting ready to go out into life beyond graduation. And the first thing it says here, I will stand. You ought to write that down in your soul. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand for something. I'm not just going to flow along with the fads and the fashions and the latest deal going out. I'm going to stand. That's the first thing I'd challenge you and charge you tonight is stand. The second is upon my watch. Whether you understand this or not, at the age of life that you're at, you're getting ready to go into your watch. There comes a time when it's your time. The generations move on. Pretty soon your grandpa and your grandpa will be gone. Pretty soon your mom and dad will be gone. And it's your watch that's coming on the deal. And he said, I'm going to stand upon my watch. That's what I've tried to do the last 30 years is stand on my watch. My watch is going on right now. I'm not just not talking about something on your hand here. And it's talking about just looking at something. It's talking about the time that you have that you can make a difference in history and the country. He said, I'll stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. He said, this is how I'm going to stand in my watch. I'm going to set me upon the tower. He said, Reggie, what is that tower? It's the tower of God's truth. It's the tower of God's word. A tower enables you to see further than other people see. If you've got a tower and there's a bunch of people down here and you get up in that tower, you're able to see a lot farther than other people can see. And if you'll take this book, this word of God, and if you'll set yourself in this tower, you will be able to see farther in life than those people around you. The ability, the difference in the success of your life is your ability to see how far you can see into eternity. That's what's going to really determine your success in life. And so he said, I'm going to set myself on this tower and watch this. He said, and we'll watch to see what he saith, what he will say unto me. When you're reading the Bible and you get in the tower of God's word, what you want to do is, God, speak to my heart. God, talk to me. God, show me the way that you want me to go. He said, I'm not just climbing this tower so I can get up there and have a good view. I'm going to look at the word of God so I can get direction in life, and I'm going to be listening for the Lord what God's going to say to you. I'm going to get into the Bible so I can understand what God has for me in my life. And then he said this, and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Let me tell you something about God. He's going to reprove you. He's going to tell you that's not the right direction. He's going to tell you some things you don't want to hear. But a wise young person, a wise graduate, will say, you know what? I'm looking forward to hearing the reproofs of God so I can get direction in my life. Now watch this, and this is where I want to get to in verse number 2. If you'll do these things, and this is exciting to me, the Lord answered me. He said, I stood. He said, I stood upon my watch. He said, I set myself upon the tower, and I waited, I watched to see what God would say to me. And he said, what God would answer. And this is what God told him in verse number 2. Get this. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You can blow this off. You can sit there and say, well, I got to go through this. Or you can grab hold of this and it will absolutely change your life. And I promise you. Here's what it is in verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, God told him to do something. He said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Behold, it will not tarry. You say, Reggie, what's your graduation message tonight? Real quick, here it is. I want to encourage you young people tonight to go home tonight. Get you a tablet. It mentions it right there in that passage of Scripture. Right up on the tables. That's where we get the word tablet from. I want to encourage you to write the vision for your life down. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a vision. You're going to have that birth of a vision. You're going to be excited, and not, but all of a sudden you're going to find out some years down the road that vision dies and it's going to look like it's buried and gone and will never, ever happen. And then God is going to resurrect that vision supernaturally if you'll be faithful to Him. I can show you this all the way through the Bible. Moses had a vision to deliver the children of Israel. He killed an Egyptian. That vision died for 40 years. And at the end of 40 years, God supernaturally resurrected it. I can take you through every major person in the Bible and show you that God ever used and show you how they had a vision, how that vision died, and how that vision was supernaturally resurrected by God. And by the way, the gospel itself is in that. Jesus Christ came, gave the vision of the kingdom. The vision died, but was resurrected. The disciples went through that birth, death, and resurrection of the vision. Now, here's what I encourage you to do is get a journal. I mean, just get you an old cheap 55, I don't know maybe what they cost now, but get you a tablet. And write down what you intend and want, would like to see and do in your life. And if you say, I don't know, you better get to find out. Don't just drift down the road of life. Write down some goals. What do you want to be when you what do you want to be when you get out of school? What do you want to be 10 years from now? What do you want to do 20 years from now? What do you expect? What's some goals of life? And make sure those goals are goals that you've gotten from God's Word, that they align with God's Word, that they're not contrary to the will of God. And so here's what I'm saying to you. Write down your goals, your dreams, your vision for the future. The Bible said when you write it down, make it plain. I think that means be specific. Write it down on the table. You say, Reggie, is that really biblical? Let me tell you something God did. You know what God did? Every time God wanted to get something, He wrote it down on something. He wrote the law down on tablets in stone. When He wanted you to have the Word of God, He wrote it down where you could read it. Our founders, when they wanted you to have a constitution, a bill of rights, a declaration of independence, they wrote it down. It's up there sealed in the archives of the United States of America, guarded night and day. And there's a principle to writing down what you want to see get done in your life. Can I say something to you? Some of you boys sitting here say, you know what? I'd like to have my own business someday. Go home and write it down tonight. Do you have that much faith? But what's the purpose do you have in your own business? What's the motivation do you have in your own business? Why do you want to have your own business? What do you want to accomplish in life? Where are you going? What are you going to do with what God gives you? So write it down. And then the Bible says this. Watch this now. That he may run that readeth it. I've got about 4 journals right now. Old tablets. I started in 1988. It is unbelievable the things that I wrote down there that I had visions for that God has done. But I want to promise you, God didn't do it the way I thought it was going to happen. But he's done it. And what it will do is build your faith. Now here's it. He said that you may run that readeth. Because there's going to be times when you're going to need to go back to that vision. When it looks like it's dead. When it looks like it won't work. When it looks like it's impossible. And you're going to have to read that which you wrote in faith. That you may run. so that you won't quit, so that you won't walk off the track and say, I'm done, I'm finished, I give up on this thing. And write down that vision that you may run. He said that so that you can run. Sometimes, you know what? I'm glad that I can go back and read the Word of God and get encouragement and get strength for the journey. Instead of walking off the track, I can go back to my Bible, Donnie, and say, you know what? I'm going to run. I'm going to read and I'm going to run. He said, Reggie, what should I write down? First of all, I think you ought to write down your journal. I mean this tonight. Get you a journal. It ought to be private. It's not for everybody to know about. But write down your goals and dreams and your visions. I think you ought to write down, one of the things is that my chief purpose in life is to glorify God. Lord, my chief goal in life is to glorify you, whatever it is that you have me to do. Let me give you a suggestion tonight to you four graduates. You know what I'd write down tonight before I went to sleep? I'd write down, Lord, it is my goal and my vision and my determination by your grace to keep pure morally until I'm married. Lord, I'm going to be a virgin when I marry. I'd write it down. Because you know what? That hour that you're tempted the most, the Holy Ghost of God is going to bring back the vision you wrote down the second you're about to violate that vision. I would go home and I'd write down, Lord, show me ways to serve you and serve other people. Lord, give me knowledge of your word. Lord, my goal is to know the Bible, to have my daily devotions and look to the Word of God. Write down your dreams about your vocation. Do you want to be a plumber? Let me tell you something. A good plumber make a good living in this country. Did you know right now you can't find anybody to fix a refrigerator? There's so much opportunity. It amazes me how much so much opportunity there is in this country. But everybody's walking, young people walking around like, they don't know what they're going to do. They have no vision, no vision out there. I would encourage you boys to do something. Go visit every business you can visit. Go into a banker someday and say, sit down and say, listen, I want to talk to you. I'm not here for long. I want to know how this operates. I want to know how you got here. I want to know what you do and how you do it. Go visit every type of business person you can visit. And I don't care if they're lost as a goose and a drunk. I want to tell you something. The Bible said the world is wiser in its ways than the children of light sometimes. You can learn things from lost people. Amen. One of the biggest lessons I ever learned was from a banker named Cobb, K-O-L-B. He had a brown sack beside his desk with liquor in it when he told me what I'm getting ready to tell you. 2 weeks after I'd surrendered to preach, he called me into his office and he said, Reggie, get back. Come on back here. I walked back here. He said, sit down, son. He called me son. Sit down, son. He looked across his desk and looked at me and said, I hear you started preaching. I said, yeah. He said, let me tell you something. I think a lot of you and your little wife, but you picked a sorry vocation to get into. How'd you like to have that for your first 2 weeks starting preach? Banker tells you picked a sorry vocation to get into. I said, well, first of all, it's not a vocation, it's a calling. And God called me to preach. He said, that's fine, but let me tell you something. I've been in this town a long time. I've banked everybody. He said, I've seen preachers come in town. They're big slinging deal, and they're going to have a new building project. They're going to do this and do that. He said, they come in the bank with the deacons, and they borrow a bunch of money. And then he said, the next thing you know, about a year and a half later, they're having a church split. And he said, lo and behold, and I never will forget what he did. He said, God called them out of town. And God called them to leave the bank and not build, their bills not paid. And God called, and he said, the church is split and nobody can pay the bills. They can't even hardly pay their light bill. He said, I ain't got much time for preachers. Now you listen to me. I learned something. And this is the last words to me. Pay your bills. What I'm saying to you is you can learn something from everybody. Write down the vision. Go home tonight and say, you know what? I'm not going to be average. I don't serve a God who's a God of the average. I'm going to be the best at whatever God calls me to be. And I'm going to be successful at it by God's grace and for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, tonight, I pray that you bless these young people. God, I pray tonight that they'll write down the vision. Even if it takes them months to write it down. Lord, help them to understand, Lord, that you're a God, that a visionary God, a God who reveals the future, a God who writes the future before it's ever happened. Lord, you said the just in this passage of scripture, the just shall live by faith. God, tonight, give these young people a great measure of faith. Lord, we've got enough donkeying around young people in America, flopping around life, Lord, as if it didn't amount to anything. God, we need some young people who's disciplined themselves, who's got a goal, who's got a vision, who's going to go back and read it when they're discouraged. And they're going to put their face to it, Lord. And I pray, God, it's not about themselves, but it's about your glory. Bless these young people. Lord, I pray, I thank you for them and their families tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'll give them a gratefulness for a mom and a dad who cared enough about them to give them a godly education and to keep them from being ruined by the wiles and the devices of this world. Lord, bless those parents tonight. I pray, fill their hearts, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, that we were allowed to live in a time and a generation when, Lord, the opportunity to change the direction of education came during the years that we were having children. God, we thank you for the opportunities that you've given us. Lord, may these young people know that it's not an accident, but to whom much is given, much is required. Oh, Lord, tonight I pray, help them, Lord, to stand upon their watch. Help them, Lord, to set themselves upon the tower that they can see things as they really are. Help them, God, to write their vision and to know, God, that even though it tarries to wait, that it will come. God, we love you tonight. I want to thank you so much, Lord, Lord, for the joy of salvation, the joy of being able to see past time into eternity and your overall plan. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.